Hey Harm, unmute yourself and take it off.
Well, welcome. Today's the 21st of April. We're studying the Sealed Book of Mormon.
Moses.
Moses in the Sealed Book of Mormon, 5, verse 9. So, welcome, everybody. I hope you have a good class. It is always a privilege to ponder the scriptures and to share it with you and be guided and be able to connect the things in front of the class happening. For me, that's always exciting that you could something could happen, some small thing that you could use. I want to start with just read the first verse, and I'll read the first one, and we'll take it from there. So verse 9, however, the Lord said to Noah, "My spirit will not remain in man forever, for he will know that all flesh will die. Yet his days shall not be more prolonged in the time period of the heavenly dwelling, but they will be shortened, starting from the flood that I am bringing upon the earth. And if any of the children of Adam give me greater pleasure, so I'll make him live longer. And as the dispensations pass until the coming of my descendant, I will shorten them even more, making them full between 70 and 80 years of age. And some for their robustness, I will permit reach up until 120 years old." So, go ahead.
I saw the analysis showing charting the ages of the patriarchs and after the flood and how they form a very interesting exponential decay. And the suggestion was that before the flood, the earth was surrounded by a cloud cover that protected us from the cosmic rays. And after the flood, those weren't protecting us anymore, and that's one of the reasons for our declining age. But that doesn't take into account those who are righteous living up to 120. That's interesting.
It is interesting that it would give him greater pleasure. And also the waters also reminds me that the waters are like how you say a bescherming that it protects you like an armor almost. That first you had the water down and the water up, that it would yeah, be even more connecting the upper and the lower, maybe like with frequencies. And I was also studying the Brother Pratt, what he said about this. It was interesting what he said about that the Lord does like old age. So certain people he permits to live longer, and he had an interesting example of the last patriarch in the LDS Church,
Oh.
who did his was turned 106, I think, and I was pondering that I have I'm pondering the eternal round a lot, and this fullness idea of 99 and 999, and so I want to share with you an anecdote of my childhood that I, my brother actually was born 7 October. So that's a kind of a date now, which is stained through the misery in Israel at this time. But for me, it was a very positive thing. Because my older brother was his birthday, and his best friend in primary was also his birthday at 7 October, and they had a primary teacher who was 7 October birthday. And it was funny because this high primary school teacher sent every year, she sent a card to my brother. And this kept on happening. Oh yeah, and it was interesting was that her name was Post Ma. So we got the post every year from Post Ma. So this has to do with send, receive. You know, you send something and you receive something. And it was always short message, like congratulations, nothing negative. But as my brother, progressed and got to study economics and in Amsterdam, and but the card kept coming to my farm where I grew up. The card kept coming, and so I was thinking, would she be alive? So I googled her name, and then I found out she turned out to be 104. And there was an article in online that she turned 100, and I got a picture with that, and I thought, wow, this is like with the second invitation, the emphasis on the outcasts, so the children. This was a teacher who had no children for herself, but for me it turned like into a kind of Florence Nightingale kind of type, or Mother Teresa, so that you give yourself for empathy for the weak, you know. And so I think it was preparatory for me personally to acknowledge the small things that through small things, I think it is in Alma, in the Book of Mormon, that through small things he makes big things happen. And we're learning about these sentiments now. So about age. So God loves you, take care of your body also. And your mind. Okay, so
yeah, can I add something? Thank you for that wonderful story of the Posma, the teacher, and she was robust, because you said Russell because of their righteousness, but it's for their robustness, and yeah. I was wondering what traits do you think of when you think of robust? Because I googled it, and then it comes out as krachtig, fors, stevig, as Dutch, but in English it's powerful and sturdy. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need to think about how we gain robustness in this work, because I think the Lord will also bless us then.
That's interesting. Sorry, you asked Brother Russ, Anderson.
So. No, I was just asking in general what traits go with robustness. It's like probably like something like, well, to try to be positive in all situations, you know, what we now learn with the Anthropos in Aistima, to be cool in all situations, I mean. Yeah, I was wondering what other traits do people think of when they think of the word being robust. So that well, was a question. So
I'm thinking about what Brother Pratt said about the difference between strength and mighty. So I think he talked about it's not so much about muscle and he, but about he used the example of a fire hose, that it's not a that it's kind of chi power that you have. And I think the peace which comes with the power, you know, that you. But that's my thought again. Any thoughts?
I was just going to mention the small things is in D&C 64, wherefore be not weary in well-doing, for you lay in the foundation of great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great. But also D&C 123 is interesting. Talked about there are many yet in the earth among all sects, parties, and denominations who are blinded by the subtle craftiness of men, wherefore they lie in wait to deceive, and who are only kept from the truth because they know not where to find it. Therefore, that we should waste and wear out our lives and bring into light all the hidden things of darkness wherein we know them, and they are truly manifest from heaven. These should be attended to with great earnestness. Let no man count them as small things, for there is much which lieth in futurity pertaining to the saints which depend upon these things.
That's great. And further in the chapter, they talk about the storm and the small helm. Only when the storm comes, and I use that chapter a lot because through it helps us to understand why the growth of the church is not bigger. Because first we also have to put out the stuff that doesn't isn't pure, and that's all in 1, 2, 3 D&C.
Remove the chaff, in other words.
Yeah, because and that's why I'm beginning to understand we have such a small group in the beginning. Because it's hard to become one. I've tried that with a lot of times with music, and you want to have creative people, but creative people have a lot of opinion. They do not just do what they're told, and that's not what you want. Because if they only do what you're told, it's never going to be yours. You don't feel that it's your baby song. If you only have to play the notes and can't add a nuance or something. So I think that's very important to understand that we can be as one in a small group, you know, that you learn to work together with all the different talents. Also makes you humble that we would need somebody to drive the car and somebody to fill it up, or who has a sharp hearing, or who can see a bit further, and that would help us to appreciate the body of Christ with all the different limbs and attributes. So maybe we go to the if anybody has a comment, go ahead. Otherwise we go to the next verse. Okay, Michael.
I was just going to say that the going along with what Russell said in Alma 37, it talks about small and simple, and maybe that's the one that you were thinking of. 37 verse 6 says, "Now you may suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass, and small means in many instances doth confound the wise."
Thank you. Thank you so much, because that's true. That's the verse I was thinking about. And now, but it's great that Russell get the other one, because, you know, this is about the small things. And further in the chapter of 37, it talks about the Liahona. And that's also very interesting analogy with that you compare the easiness of getting a device and looking at it with the right attitude. And it's compared to looking up to Jesus, as we can all over the world, you know, that it would be that simple. That isn't that amazing? I think that's really mind blowing. The Liahona, to ponder the Liahona. I can't imagine people reading the first time the Book of Mormon, if you're not brought up with that, did you think from, all right, this is strange, this device. Yes, go ahead.
Can I add something to Michael, his scripture? It's from the Acts of the Three Nephites 1 verse 4. Remembering still that the foolishness presented by God in the course of all dispensations was the means by which the Lord confounded the wise men and teachers of the law among his people to do his work among those who, according to the attention and diligence that if they dedicate, come to understand their mysteries and to bring salvation to their souls.
Right.
It's like a follow-up from Michael, his verse.
That's why I think the sealed book is so kind of small. Okay, let's go to the verse 10. Russell, would you read that?
Yes, I'd be glad to. And if men will not repent of their sins and will not hearken to the preaching of Noah, then will I send floods upon them, and I will blot out all this iniquity and their cities from the face of the earth, and will create a new lineage from men of the loins of Noah and his seed.
Any thoughts? I think lineage, since we're studying this different ways it's not a different, it's the same way. That gives the peace. That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here he creates a new lineage and a different timetable in a way. Yeah, with the less time. So probably also the whole specialization thing, that not one man would understand all things so much as that they needed each other. Just a thought. Preparatory for the first, the family, the whole family thing with the 12 sons, and then even then when it goes to the world out of the family with Jesus, with the apostles, to the whole world. Okay, any other thoughts, comments, this verse? Okay, let's go to 11, Brother Bob.
And in those days, there were giants on earth, the descendants of the watcher angels, who forsook their natural state to lie with the daughters of men. These, for fear of the words of Noah, which proclaimed destruction upon all them and their offspring, sought Noah to take his life. But the Lord was with Noah, and the priesthood power of the Son of God was active in him. And the Lord commanded Noah according to his own command, and commanded that he should declare his gospel to the sons of men, that they should forsake the watchers and turn away from serving their seed, who were the mighty men of the land, even as it was declared also in the days of Enoch.
I think that that has caused some problems for some people who've approached the sealed book, right? They don't like the idea of the watchers.
Yes.
Yes, I agree with that. I've had people tell me that directly, that they found it a bit, what's the word he used? Revolting or
offensive, maybe?
Something very disgusting. It just was not pleasant to think about that angels would do something like that.
So. Yeah.
I have a bit of a hard time hearing you, Brother Bob. You're really soft. I hear snippets, but
yeah, I had to turn up my volume too.
Okay. Now I don't hear nothing from you, Brother Bob.
Oh, Bob's gone.
He's now he's gone.
Dial back in, I guess.
The word that stuck out to me in that verse was active.
Amen. This was the same what I was going to say. Active. So it's an activation of something already present. It you can be activated. And if we're in the similitude of God, you know, it's all there. It has to be activated. Like I read sometime, we only use like really small percentage of our brain. Then it could be activated. You know, the whole frame, the whole tabernacle could work in a better way. And it's also interesting, I think, is the fear you mentioned, Russell, of people. You know, watcher, and it has been taken out long ago. You know, the whole perception of the watchers, and with the taking out of the Book of Enoch, and don't you normal people don't think about these difficult stuff, you know? So that makes you even more scared, you know, because you don't have to be scared if you have the right feelings and the right actions, you know, then you would not fear. Because there's two energies fighting for your attention. I feel myself more and more since I'm studying the second invitation and trying to act upon it. That power is fear and love, and love is empathy, and fear excludes. Or love includes and fear excludes. This is also something we have to ponder and act upon, because the turning away, that's also interesting, of the serving their seed, but they are the mighty men, you know. So this, we have the same thing now with the mighty and the powerful, but who are they serving? Which goals do they want to get us enthusiastic about? And I think it has to do with these small things also, which we read, because of the pride which comes with learning. So we have 200 years, great American revolutions and inventions, technical stuff, communication stuff, great music, pop art. But what's it founded in? And I, from me as a European, I begin to better understand the whole trauma of that people in America tend to see Hollywood Jew stuff. Not to generalize, but we have to understand where the drama comes from, the place people play for power, and I think that's in here, because you cannot use the peaceful power of the Son of God activate it if you have the wrong aim. But we have to learn to discern these this stuff and not be afraid, but ask the Lord herself. And okay. Also interesting. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing. I think yes. Good what you're saying.
Thank you. So it's and also funny, the turn away, you could see like repent, or in German it's like it's umkehr. It's an interesting word, umkehr. So you just turn the other way, you know, to turn away. And we underestimate that, I think, how enormous power we have with our free agency. And also interesting with the same thing with Enoch, yeah, and the whole Exodus thing, so that you leave something behind. If you want to be free, you have to leave the slavery. But people love their oppressors, the Stockholm syndrome, everybody knows. You get used to that. You get used to your prison, and you're gonna love it. If you're not searching for the mysteries of the heart diligently, so what drives you to what direction?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are the farmers getting anywhere in Holland? They're overcoming the elites that want to shut them down?
No, it does not go well. I just read an article. There's a high rate of suicide amongst farmers.
Mm. Yes, and I come from a family of farmers, from both of my parents, and I have two brothers who are their own captain. Of course, everybody has their own unique way of leading the farm, but I'm kind of in awe how it all comes together for me self in my personal life, how the laws were put upon the farmers in the 80s, in the 90s, and they're like generations farmers, very long farmers, but you cannot plan now like four years ahead with all the investments you have to do to make it happen, and they cannot even put out the how do you say the dung, it's and I think manure, sorry, they have to pay now, and it just changed like overnight.
They cannot use their own manure on the land. They cannot use that. No, they have to buy kunststof. How do you call it? What you put on the land to make it grow.
Fertilizer.
Fertilizer.
Fertilizer, yes.
Mm. So. But you have to forsake it. And you have to, what does the word forsake mean? Because here it says they should forsake the watchers. And I was like, okay, what does it mean in Dutch? And it means leave.
Yeah, I think that it's a spiritual exodus, actually, as a preparation of the 1,000 years of Christ. We have to be more spiritual. And he knows what we need. He knows we need food, we need clothing.
Yes, and it's such a loss of potential to make these people so miserable that they want to kill, commit suicide. It is amazing the game that is being played now. So, yeah, maybe we can get some farmers interested in going abroad. I don't know. You know, some people where there's more space, more air, more less rules about nitrogen, how do you call it? I don't know, CO2.
but it's all in the name of this climate change and worry about CO2.
Yes.
And we need more CO2. The planet needs more, not getting worried about too much CO2. It's just so backwards.
Yes.
And they're getting more afraid. I saw this statistics, which is interesting. I thought with all the refugees coming in, and we have only a small country, but there's they're trying to get a right wing government now, and it's interesting that everybody is like in a constant fear mode. Yeah, and they asked they asked if the war came to the Netherlands, how many people would flee or fight? You got this flight freeze thing, and only 30% wanted to fight for the land. And I was thinking about Israel, and everybody has commentary about Israel and the amount of violence. But if you have a history as Israel, as the state Israel, just keep things clear. I think there's a larger percentage that wants to fight.
Yes, how do you call it, patriotism? We were not brought up with patriotism. I mean, the Americans, they always pledge allegiance to the flag in the morning. I think they just dispersed of that. They don't do that anymore. But you cannot imagine that here, you know, that you will pledge allegiance to the flag. This is not
possible. It's not cool. They don't think it's cool to
It's
yeah,
totally it's different. It's also cultural difference. So but point is, you have to forsake the watchers and turn away from serving their seed. But that's a really big question to ask, because those are giants, you know.
Yes,
as I understand correctly. So you have to have some robustness to be able to get
up
out of it. Yes,
and to love your people. Also, this is also, people tend to forget Jesus is my savior, but there is also a gathering going on of all the tribes, and God knows every covenant he's ever made with a person or a people, and all everywhere where is some kind of organization, there is cohesion and there is order. And he is a God of order and peace and power. So we have to also love our neighbor and love the things which are still good. And this is something I noticed around me, especially with the intellectual and art people. They not watch the news anymore. The local news, the national news, maybe some international highlights. But we also have to love our neighbor. And that I think is very important, like with the small things, to be able to feel empathy in a broader sense. The people could recognize it. The elements of the people would testify to their spirit. Okay, I'm sorry. I think we're going a little bit slow, but I feel you. So let's go. I think Balkan, you go to the 12th verse.
Yes. And it came to pass that Noah cried unto the children of men that they should repent, but they would not hearken unto his words. And also to the watchers who had transmuted in the likeness of the sons of men. But when they had heard him, they came before him, saying, Behold, we are the children of God. Have we not taken for ourselves the daughters of men? Are we not eating and drinking and marrying mortal women, just as the sons of Adam do? And our wives give us children, and they are mighty men, and they are mighty men, like are unto your ancestors. Yea, the men of old that were among the seed of Adam, as well as Cain and Lamech, who have gained renown among the children of men. Want me to do another one?
No, let's pause.
Okay.
So, like unto our ancestors, mighty. So, and this was also where Brother Pratt used that it would not per se have to be very big like a giant man, but mighty, so in power. And this could also mean spiritual power, because
yes, and they were convinced that they are the children of God,
and in a sense, of course, every creation is of course of God. But when are we children of God? Then we do his will. So that makes us his children. And also the renown, that what we have heard, we judge about situations by the knowledge we have of what we have heard. And transmuted is also interesting. Transmuted in the likeness. So it's that there's somebody, been busy. Because what's really happening here, it's not all clear to me. So if you have any light to share.
I just want to mention from the footnote there, the inspired version of Genesis 8:9, and also it's basically the same thing. Though people are complaining about the watchers and everything, I mean, it's basically telling us the same thing here in the inspired version of Genesis. And also after that they had heard him, they came up before him saying, Behold, we are the sons of God. Have we not taken unto ourselves the daughters of men? And are we not eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? And our wives bear us children. And the same are mighty men, which are likened to them of old, men of great renown. And they hearkened not unto the words of Noah.
Exactly. They just don't want to. They don't want to. That's the whole Satan thing. To rebel. I don't want to. I'm okay. We're children of God. We're doing. We like our church, you know, because they're here, they're right here now. This the ideas of the watchers are here, and that's the pride of of the world, I think. So, I shall do 13. So why should you listen? Yeah, go ahead.
If you don't mind, I'll do that. So why should we listen to your cry to leave this earth and repent or report to God again? Behold, nothing shall come to us from God. We are his watchers. It is from us that it has required accountability from this earth, and we will not heed the words of a mere mortal whose grandfather did not ascend to heaven with the abode of Enoch. And so, out of contempt for Noah and his grandfather Methuselah, for they not having gone with the Zion of Enoch, they did not listen to his words, but said that God took Enoch and forsook the remnant of the sons of men to perish in the land. That's kind of an interesting little tidbit. He was dissing on Noah and saying, why should we listen to you? You and your grandfather weren't even taken to Enoch. The Lord left you guys to perish in the land. We're not going to listen to you.
Yeah, it's such an interesting point of view, you know, to see it from their perspective. And maybe through traditions of or oral stories, it was meant to be that Methuselah was left behind, you know? It was meant to be. Otherwise, it's but all meant also to be.
Yeah, he also was left behind to bring, to actually bear the seed that would be Noah. Yeah, he definitely would.
So, if you get stuck in those traditions, like, oh, you did this and your forefathers did that, but otherwise it wouldn't be this way, you know. But it's interesting to see from their point of view, and it's interesting their role, because they had kind of a work to do for God, was to report. Why should we listen to your cry to leave this earth and report to God again? So these are or were the reporters of God, probably. That was one of their functions, what I read from this.
And excuses. It's all about this. Also interesting to recognize Satan in our lies, in general, because they always try to diss people, make them, oh, you're merely a mortal, or you're only a Jew, or you're only a woman, or a racist, and the contempt behind that. That's interesting. That's about with learning about mapping the feelings. So if you have contempt, and you act upon, or you speak your thoughts, maybe you should swallow sometimes. But it's interesting. And that's why they didn't listen. That's a direct relation of the feelings. And what you said, Babke, also very good. They had a job to do. They didn't do that job, and they loved it so much, just to hang around and look at those women.
Hang around with the ladies.
Yeah, not the grapes, not the size of the grapes, but the ladies.
Well, they're enthusiastic about the women, I think. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's clear.
They forgot their job. Their job was actually to judge the earth, to condemn them when they didn't do right and so forth. They were pretty important people, they figured, and beyond. And
they got involved too much. You know, they couldn't be objective anymore. If they got into the whole, creation stuff and that it would be their own more, you know, that they had more influence instead of like a caretaker.
Well, they were transmuted, and that's a chemical process, if I understand correctly.
They became mortal, I think.
By that act, probably.
Yeah, they transmuted in the likeness of the sons of men.
But yeah, they look down upon the mortals. So maybe I'm not 100%. Shall we go to the next verse? Russell, you want to do that?
All right, be glad to. And it came to pass that Noah continued his preaching unto the people of the land, saying, Hearken, you children of Adam, yea, hearken unto my words. Believe in what I am proclaiming, and repent of your sins, and be baptized in the name of the only begotten Son of God, as our fathers did before us, and ye shall receive the Holy Spirit, that all things may be made manifest unto you. And if ye do not, the floods will come upon you. However, they did not listen to his preaching, and Noah felt regret and pain in his heart, because the Lord had formed man on earth for the purpose of developing spiritually. And it distressed him, because the Lord had said to him that he will make the man which he created on the face of the earth disappear, both man and animals and things that crawl and birds of the air. We were here to develop spiritually. I think we're here to develop physically, but not. It's not. We're not here to develop physically.
No, spirits. It's a high octave. That would you be governed from heaven now, or from matter? I think that that's very interesting. And the clearness, my soul comfort in plainness, Nephi says, the clearness here, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. Then all things may be made manifest. So you can't be manifest if you don't follow this eternal pattern, which is already in the Book of Mormon, with the to be able to recognize, because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, so you don't have to fear. Yeah, you have the promptings of the Spirit and the gift. So if you really believe you have the gift, and you try to act upon this small voice inside you, you get used to that, and then you. But I think what the goal is of that is that you wouldn't fear, that you would be okay with that, cool with acting upon the feelings instead of the your ratio or left brain, right brain, that you would forge it together, you know, that it's that you wouldn't. You have the commandments that you wouldn't be afraid of your own feelings. That's my personal kind of experience, because, you know, I did all that. So then now it's God's turn, that it's an interaction. And of course you want to do good stuff, but if you know the developing is spiritually, and we have to learn to that everything points to getting eternal life across, that's something. And also interesting, I think, also here the Lord uses this if you do not, the flood will come, you know. It's very kind of childish. But it's also personal, and it has to become physical one way or another, one time or another. It has to become physical. You have to act upon the matter spiritually, and then the matter will testify of the spirit again, I think, because all things are spiritually. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Aaron.
Your mouth?
We can't hear you.
We can't hear you. Your mouth is moving, but
you're not muted. But All right, now he's connecting the audio, maybe.
Okay. I don't know Aaron, but...
There.
Hello.
Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. I can hear you. You too.
Yeah, but maybe move your camera a bit up because we only see your mouth and your great-looking suit.
Oh. Is that better?
Yes.
Yes. Wow. Good. Interesting place. You are.
Is that
another time?
Well, he just has a fake background.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can see my camera as I see mine. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, it was fine with me when Valkia didn't see it all, but it looked fine to me.
Okay. Maybe I have a different view because I have it on the telephone. But anyway, yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
Where are you located, Aaron?
I'm in Hilldale, Utah.
Oh, okay.
About 40 miles from St. George.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I think you've come on a few times in the past few months. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you came on at the end of our meeting. We're just just about done.
Oh, darn it. Okay.
We started 7 a.m., which is unfortunately a little early, but that's where
we are. In the Google? Well, we can talk about that later if you're in the Google group or not. But
yeah, do you get the messages from the send out kind of weekly?
I thought I did, but okay. I guess I didn't receive the one this morning. Let me just.
Yeah, I didn't send out one this morning, but.
Okay. So we're, now you're here.
Yeah.
We're studying the sealed book, Moses 5, and we're at verse 15.
Right.
So I don't know if you have the book in front of you.
I do.
So if you would do us the honor of listening to your voice at the 15th verse of Moses 5.
Okay.
And maybe 16. Only that's a whole maybe only do 16 and see what happens. 15 and see what happens. Go ahead.
Okay. Noah, for his part, found grace in the sight of the Lord, for he was a just and perfect man in his just engine. Excuse me, my dog's trying to get me to pet her. Here, stand back. Okay, excuse me. He was a just and perfect man in his generation, as was Enoch, and he walked with God, and also his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And behold, God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupt before his sight. And God said to Noah, arrive the end of all flesh has for me, excuse me, arrive the end of all flesh has for me, for the earth is full of violence, and the intentions of this human species in its sentiments are only evil all the time. And behold, I will make all this species contaminated by the precepts of the order of Mahan and corrupted by watchers, angels that abandoned their original position. See Jude chapter 1, verse 6. To lie down with the daughters of men, and together with them I will make the ancient cities and their structures disappear once and for all, which were erected by the wisdom of these wicked men, who in ancient times were angels appointed to ride the circuit of heaven, and in the clouds concealed their flaming chariots. See Job chapter 22, verse 14. For the purpose of observing the children of Adam, and to present to me, the Lord, a report of his proceeding with the passing of the ages. But they did not retain their heavenly nature, and were transmuted into the likeness of the children of men as they pleased, for the purpose of bearing offspring which were hybrid to them, and distinct from the sons of Adam, surpassing men in size and strength, but dependent on earthly man to elaborate and build according to the appointed designs of their heavenly progenitors. And therefore, the watchful angels are now venerated as gods to men on earth, as being those who came from the heavens for the purpose of using the sons of Adam to erect large cities in the service of their offspring.
Wow, thank you. You want to comment on that, Aaron? Some feelings? Yes. Or?
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, he was asking if you wanted to comment.
Oh, no.
Okay, I think
it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm wondering, did our the myths that are throughout the culture, did they come from these heavenly, you know, the gods of ancient literature and so forth?
Yes, that's interesting. That's interesting. I think they do, Brother Russell. I'm also, for example, I'm reading this history now of Europe and some books. And for example, you have this god Wodan, like in Valhalla. You can trace all the gods. You can trace back to this kind of stuff. That it's a person, and then and one point it becomes, in a story it becomes a god. First it was a leader of an army, and they have special features, and then it becomes a god, and it gets blown up in history, and then a lot of books written again and again, and it gets bigger and bigger. But also interesting, in 15, what people tend to forget, because Enoch walked with God. Everybody knows. Now that's that true. Not everybody knows. But Noah, people know with the animals. But look here, he walked with God. Also, his three sons.
And, oh yeah, I thought that was interesting. I didn't realize they were as righteous as that.
Yes. So didn't we get that from LDS, that this one Ham was like a little bit bad, and he married Egyptus, and
Ham is the forefather of Nimrod.
Yeah. So, but here, interesting also. But
yeah,
here it says they were all righteous at one time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for me, that's kind of interesting. And also something which John Pratt mentioned here was that the sequence of the names is different here. And I found that too,
because it's in verse 5. It starts with Japheth, then Shem, then Ham. And here it is Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which is also, what they're Sem, Ham, and Japheth. But it's a different order than which they were born in, because Japheth was the oldest, then came Shem, and then came Ham, according to verse 5 in Sealbook of Moses 5.
So according to Brother Pratt, this is also done with the 12 sons of Jacob all the time when used in a different sequence. So I don't know. I think it has to do with priesthood and acting upon your calling. He also talked about the Levites, that they're sometimes not mentioned because they have a different function with the
priesthood,
the temple and the priesthood. So,
and Shem was the forefather of Abraham.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
so then, yeah. Go ahead.
I say I think we've run out of time. If you want to wrap it up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. So maybe next time.
Oh, wait, yeah, Aaron.
That reminded me of verse 16, I think it is, in chapter 7 of Sealed Moses. I'll read it. Many of these children underwent the priestly initiation of the school of Marduk in order to perpetuate the subservience of the children of men to a man in the office of God. And when God spread the people to the four corners of the earth, it was these young priestly apprentices who later founded kingdoms with the same principle, where a man was venerated as the son of God or of the gods, because there was a mixture of doctrines between the people and were gathered together in the land of Shinar. I wanted to share that because maybe that was even a mixture too after the flood with people venerating these other beings as gods.
Amen. Thank you for that. And that's exactly what happened. They used the theatrics and all the rituals to get as close as possible to the real thing, and then get away with gaining the power and keeping the crowd enslaved. Yeah. So,
hey, you're talking in the past sense, but it's still happening today.
Yeah, thank you. That's so true, Trister. So, okay. Thank you all.
Part.
Yeah, go ahead.
I could find another part in chapter 4, Moses, to show that it's happening today.
Yeah.
Should okay. we?
Well, we'll take that later, another time.
Okay. Sounds good.
So, next time we maybe we start with 16. That's kind of a long verse. So, thank you, everybody. We hope to see you next week, and God bless you.
We did finish 16.
Yeah, we
but
did.
There's but so much in there.
There's so much.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea to, okay, yeah, maybe not okay. read it, but we can start talking about it directly.
Aaron, would you like to lead our discussion next week?
Sure.
If you can be here at 7 instead of 8.
Yeah. I just had a miscalculation of time.
That's fine.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes, good.
So we'll sing our closing song, and I'll end the recording at this point.